Then we see another call to the believers. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu. So we need to become alert again. O you who believe, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. What does that mean when the Prophet ﷺ is speaking? At that time, do not raise your voices so much that it is louder than him. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْدِكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ. Do not speak loudly to him in the speech like speaking aloud some of you to others. أَن تَحْبِطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, lest your deeds become wasted or void. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, while you don't even realize. O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. Here we learn about what happened. At the time of Am al-Wufud, many delegations were coming to Medina to meet with the Prophet ﷺ to accept Islam. And Muhammad ﷺ, as a rule, would select from the group a representative, a leader, or Amir. When Banu Tamim came to the Prophet ﷺ, as narrated in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ did counsel to decide who should be chosen as a leader from them. Abu Bakr Siddiq chose Ka'b bin Zurara, that he should be chosen as a leader, while Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu nominated Aqrah bin Habis to be appointed. There were two men from Banu Tamim. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, Abu Bakr said, "You have only named Aqrah in my opposition. I gave one name and you chose another, and you only did it out of defiance with me." Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "No, I chose out of my own free will." Then Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu persisted, and then an argument ensued, and their voices became loud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, even while they were only disputing among themselves and not with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are taught that when there is a respectable person or an elder in company, there are etiquettes on how to behave in front of them. Voices should not be raised. They had a disagreement among themselves and had an argument among each other, and voices became raised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade this raising of voices in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, we see such respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn that the companions were humans. They had disagreements and disputes and difference of opinions. It can happen, it can arise between people, as not all people are the same. But at the same time, they are our role models. What should we learn from them? When two or more people are working together, and temperaments and personalities can be different, and disputes can occur, whether in an organization or a company. They didn't have hatred or ill feelings for each other. Having such negative feelings that do not want to work together. We do not hear of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu making his own separate group, nor Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu making his own. We can look in their lives and see nothing of this sort. Because of their mission, even if they had a difference of opinion, they did not let it be a cause of hate for each other, nor having ill feelings for each other, nor breaking ties with one another. They wouldn't keep dwelling on that one of them said such a thing at that time. When we read their sayings or the ahadith narrated by them, we never hear about any of these ill sentiments for each other. They only commended each other. This is what is found recorded. And what can be a better proof of their not having any ill feelings towards one another than the fact who was instrumental in choosing Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a khalifa after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we learn that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had nominated Umar to be the khalifa. They would only compete each other in good deeds, and would exceed each other in the pious deeds, but did not have any jealousy. They did not say, "He said this to me," or "He always says this to me." If this was the case, then it would never work. They would not have been able to tolerate each other's company. And if there was hatred and enmity for Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu could have raised objections in him becoming Khalifa, and it never happened. We learn that there is nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion, and arguments can happen. But then go back to as before the dispute. This differences of opinion happens between all relations, brothers and sisters, husband and wife, a mother and a daughter. But when people are connected sincerely for the sake of Allah and His deen, then hearts should be joined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives their example in the previous surah, Surah Al-Fath. How are they with each other? رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, merciful to each other. What happens today that after one difference of opinion, relationships get cut off from each other? We gain a big lesson from this. Now we can say that for raising the voices, if they do that, what will happen? And if they did not abstain from it? If you do not stop, you will waste all your good deeds, and you will not even know it. Such a big matter that deeds will be wasted. So cannot raise voices. And this is for just raising the voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what about putting one's own opinion above sayings of the Prophet? Then how big the sin that would be? People give their own opinions about the ahadith. What is hadith? Saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, and many times people say, it's only hadith, as it doesn't matter. They put their own opinions above the hadith or sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, this is what I think. Then we must think that even raising voices above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intolerable to Allah. And Allah tells us not to raise voices above His voice. We learn that respect is something not just in the heart. A person can have respect in the heart for someone, but even the voice should not be raised. This is respect, and it should be visible. The tone of voice should be low. This is mentioned twice, that do not raise your voices above the Prophet as you raise voices in conversing with each other. The first raising is when they speak to the Prophet. The tone of their voices should be low. They should be one of due respect and giving honor, and the voice should be soft and lowered. This is the first meaning. When you speak with each other, what does this mean? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, even in his presence, they were not allowed to elevate their voices. And it also means that when they speak with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cannot speak in the same manner as everyone else speaks with one another, as "How are you, buddy?" "Oh, you came here." No, respect. The third point is that when they address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to do it with calling out the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they called out names of each other, as friends call each other with their names. Cannot say "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." They were not allowed to say that. But "Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabiullah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not called Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying "Ya Muhammad" anywhere in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name is mentioned 4 times in the Quran. There are statements with the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being mentioned. When there is need to mention his name, it is mentioned, but not being addressed with his name, just as Allah called out to the other prophets, "Ya Musa, Ya Isa," we read in the Quran. But there is no "Ya Muhammad" in the entire Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much respect, then how much respect should we give to him? We cannot say Hazrat Muhammad said this. Do we say the name of our mother? No. We say my mom. We do not say the name even of our own mother, saying Fatima said this. We say my mom said this. Saying Hazrat does not give him the due respect. We should say Nabi as-salatu was-salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should say Darood after mentioning his name. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet by saying, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Mudathir, Ya ayyuhal Muzammil, calling him with the names of compassion. Because when someone is called with their title, there is honor in it for them. If we call someone by their name, for example, Ahmad, come here, versus saying, Dr. Ahmad, if you could please come here, which has more respect? Dr. So-and-so has said this, versus calling them by the name. There is a difference between the two ways of calling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name. Therefore, the way we are frank with our friends, we could not speak to him by calling him that way. Even if he has passed away, we cannot mention his name the same way we mention the names of each other. Even now, we should mention his name with respect and veneration. Scholars have taken proof of a matter from this. When the Prophet ﷺ was alive, speaking in a loud voice was not allowed in his company. However, even today, when visiting his grave, there are certain etiquettes to observe. Walking in a quiet, respectful demeanor. It is not respectful being loud. We should just be as if he was alive. How would we behave in his company? So should have the same demeanor or respect. Sadly, the behavior is quite opposite today. We do not even behave that way in front of ordinary people, the way people behave there, the way it is chaotic and people run and push each other, as if there is a race. What kind of etiquettes are those? At that time, even when we say salam, should do it with great respect. Imam Qurtubi, Imam Alawi have written that similarly, when a person goes to a scholar, even then speaking in a loud voice is not appropriate. This is because the scholars or ulama are heirs of the Anbiya, the prophets. This is a hadith that the ulama are waris or heirs of the prophets. Therefore, we should give the same respect to them and not speak in a loud voice. And especially when a scholar is giving a talk about Quran or Hadith, then give respect and do not speak that is not allowed. As if the Prophet ﷺ was saying something to us, how respectful would we behave then? Now Prophet ﷺ is not alive, but his Hadith are with us. And if anyone is teaching them to us, we should sit with respect and listen attentively, and not start talking to other people there, nor start looking in our phones. We as parents detest it if we are speaking to our child and he or she is on the phone. When we say listen and the child says I'm listening and playing it on the phone at the same time, this makes us angry. Similarly, when a talk about the matters of Allah and His Prophet is going on and we are on our phones, either the Quran is recited or a hadith is mentioned, whether in a live gathering or in a class, and we are occupied in texting at the same time or doing something else, this is disrespect, as Allah is watching. We are taught respect not to speak in a loud voice. We should keep our volume low. Our deen, our religion, not only teaches us respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but respect of parents is also emphasized. We cannot even say uff. Respect is not in the heart alone. The way we speak with someone shows how much respect we have for the other person. So even with parents, we are told to lower our shoulders and cannot even say a word of uff, showing even a little displeasure. Our Sharia teaches us to respect every person who is an elder, a teacher, one with knowledge. Those who are attached to the Quran, they should all be respected. We are taught how to speak with them, even the tone of voice to use. In the hadith, it is mentioned the respect of any gray-haired Muslim is a sign of reverence for Allah. So respecting an old person is a reverence of Allah. Similarly, it is mentioned in the hadith, the respect for bearers of the Quran and for Muslim leaders who judge according to Islam. The Prophet ﷺ enjoined respect especially for these people. Sadly, we do not give respect that is due to those deserving. Such as in some Muslim countries, if a math or an English tutor comes to teach kids, they have them sit in a room with air conditioning, while if a Qari Sahab or a teacher of Quran comes, they have them sit outside. Similarly, the compensation is not the same, and the respect given to them is not the same. People disregard teachers of the Quran. Astaghfirullah. So we must give respect to those learned in Quran, and this is considered reverence of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the end of this ayah, if voices are raised, then perhaps your deeds will be wasted. This means that doing good deeds is not enough. We must do good deeds and make sure that they do not become null or void. There are ways good deeds get wasted, even if the person doesn't intend to. But as a retribution or punishment for certain sins, good deeds get wasted. This is considered a sin when someone's voice is raised above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or calling the Prophet as calling of each other. We learn from another incident where the Arab Bedouins called the Prophet by saying Ya Muhammad. They were not allowed to call him in that manner, and this includes the style of speaking and tone of voice or body language. If it shows disrespect in any way, then their deeds may get wasted while they don't even realize. Because of a person's carelessness, these good deeds get wasted, and the person doesn't even know about it, even if it was not their intention. Who were admonished first? When Umar Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a disagreement and their voices were raised, then this ayah was revealed. This is a scary ayah. They had no intention of disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but now they are told to keep a check on themselves. Sometimes these things happen out of carelessness and results in wasting of good deeds. In a hadith, we learn that a man utters a saying from his mouth that he considers insignificant and small, and doesn't even consider that it is wrong what he is saying. But that statement or saying is so hated by Allah that he makes his place so deep in hell, where its distance is between the heavens and the earth. Therefore, we must watch what we utter and how we speak. We should be careful that we do not utter such things that become a means of our punishment. From here, we learn that even in sins, not all sins are the same. Some sins are so severe, then good deeds of people get wasted. And who should fear losing good deeds the most? Someone who has no good deeds, or one who has a lot of good deeds? The one who has done more good deeds, just as an owner of treasures fears of his treasure being stolen. One who doesn't have anything, what will he fear losing? The more someone exceeds in good deeds, the more they should fear losing them or making them void. Therefore, the ulama or scholars say, the more good deeds someone does, the more they should fear Allah. May Allah protect us from this. When this ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu started speaking so softly with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, O Prophet, from now on I will speak to you as a friend who whispers to his friend. He was very humble. He immediately obeyed and corrected himself. Today, no one wants to believe that this ayah is for them, especially ayahs with stern matters or that contain warnings. We don't think that they are for us and think they are for so-and-so and so-and-so. We start thinking of people who may do this and then think we should recite it to them, but never place it upon ourselves. Even if they themselves need to correct it themselves, but because of arrogance, even if someone is telling the truth, they mind it. Even if they mention the fault in general terms. Even if someone mentions directly or indirectly, if we see the mistake in ourselves, we should just fix it. We cannot go after others and say how dare they even mention it. This is because we do not like to correct our own behavior. If we hear about a matter in which we may be falling short and being addressed, we should not mind but realize the mistake and correct our behavior. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became very conscious and spoke so lightly that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask him, O Umar, what did you say? Speak louder. And another companion, Thabit bin Qais, when he heard this ayah, as his voice was loud, went home crying. He said to his wife, I'm ruined. Such an ayah is revealed about me. Because my voice is so loud. So he secluded himself at his home. When he didn't go to the masjid for some days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the other companions, where did Thabit go? Anas bin Malik said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found him absent in the masjid, he asked about him. So one person said, I will find out about him. So he went to Thabit's house. He was sitting with his head down. When the companion asked what was wrong with him, Thabit said, very bad happened. I would speak loudly in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now the ayah is revealed that my deeds are wasted and I am from the people of hell. The companion returned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him about Thabit, what he had said. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go back to him and tell him you are not from people of hell but from the people of Jannah. This is narrated in Al-Bukhari. We see how the companions were conscious and had so much faith and piety and feared Allah and considered the ayahs were for them. Perhaps it was about them specifically. While even if we are told directly, we feel it's not for us. This is for those who want to correct themselves. When we go to visit the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and visit his grave, we should do it with great respect. At the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people were speaking loudly in the masjid. Umar went to them with his stick and asked them, where did you come from? They said, we are from Taif. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I swear by Allah, if you were from people of Medina, then I would have struck you. Don't you know that Allah has said in the Quran, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ, do not raise your voices, and you have come here and you raise your voices. We learn about many matters from this one ayah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ, indeed those who lower their voices, عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, near the Prophet of Allah, أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم. They are ones Allah tested their hearts. Tested for what? للتقوى, for piety. Allah tests believers to see how much they fear Allah, how God conscious they are. Those who heard the ayah and lowered their voices near the Prophet, they are the ones Allah tested their hearts to check how much taqwa or piety they had. We learned that even the piety is tested, and Allah checks how much taqwa a person has. This is a test we never think about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks how we fare in our piety, and this piety is known by a person's actions. We can check how much reverence and respect we have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we have objections about him or complaints? Why did he say this or why did he do that? Do we have these sentiments? Here piety or taqwa means fear of Allah. Whoever believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger of Allah and respects him greatly and lowers his voice, so to fear wasting their good deeds, then the person was tested for taqwa. Allah made it apparent how much piety is in the hearts. If the due respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not there, then their deeds would get wasted. So people have to fear Allah. The hidden fear of Allah was checked, and Allah made it known. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. Whoever has taqwa, for them is a big blessing of Allah. And taqwa is what takes a person to Jannah. A person's reverence for someone shows who they respect, and because of that will obey them and not reject their saying. If, astaghfirullah, there is no respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a person's heart, then how will they obey his commands? And how will they make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their role model? Therefore, we should have respect for him. There are other words used in the Quran for tests, such as ibtila, bala, but here imtahana is used. The difference between ibtila and bala and imtahana is that imtahana is an easy test, and bala and ibtila are difficult tests. Some tests are difficult. For the prophets, they were ibtila. The higher the levels, the more difficult the tests. Just as a PhD student will not receive a test given to the pre-K students. So Allah tested. Allah knows who has respect for his prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us implement these ayahs in our lives. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم